Xbox. I'm saying my prayers to whatever I decide to pray to on any given night. I add among the things that I'm thankful for the incredible booksellers and the incredible bookstores that are in our region. We have a family of independent bookstores that is unrivaled, and we here at the Roundtable are lucky enough to have friendships with all these wonderful people who come in and provide book picks for us, lists of books that are great, that are out, that are coming out, that are here, and things that we should be aware of. And we trust them, and they're wonderful people, and they work together as this force, this force of a book selling community. And I'm thrilled today to welcome two booksellers from two bookstores joining us with books that we should pay attention to. This morning, we welcome Roxana Pishak, who is from Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts. Good morning, Roxana. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Wonderful to have you here. Thank you so much. And we also welcome Kira Weisner from Merritt Bookstore in Millbrook, New York. Hello, Kira. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Good morning. It's great to see you.
It's wonderful to see you and have you both here in the studio. All right. Let us begin with you, Roxana. Where would you like to start?
Well, I have a In Case You Missed It book, which Kira says she might have talked about previously. So, but it's a book that came out earlier this year.
Okay.
Called,
No rules.
It made me so excited.
It's called Lion. It's by Sonia Walger, who's an actress. She's been on Lost. She's on For All Mankind. She's been in a lot of things, but she wrote this book that was published earlier this year, just paperback, not a big production, but it's a fascinating autobiographical novel about her father, who was quite a character, someone that from the outside you could be very entranced by, enchanted by, but as a child, not a great father necessarily. Mm-hmm. And the book kind of goes back and forth between memories of her childhood and then some contemporary thoughts about her own family that she's forming. So there's some interesting parallels drawn there. But the thing that I really loved about this book is that she is a gorgeous writer. Yeah, for a first novel, when she writes especially about her childhood and the way she remembers time and the way she remembers spending time with her father. She's just a very, very beautiful writer. And she has another novel that Kira has actually read already that's coming out next year. And so I'm very much looking forward to it. But it's called Lion by Sonia Walger.
All right. That will start us off on this Tuesday, the 14th edition. Kira.
Thanks. I would just want to say, like, right, that it really packs a punch. I think that auto fiction component of it.
Yes.
It's super crazy powerful. Why don't we go? Actually, let's go then to a memoir. So I'm looking at a memoir I'm holding called The Water Bearers, a memoir of mothers and daughters by Sasha Bonet. And what I loved about this book was, again, someone taking the opportunity to think on paper, to bear her soul, her thoughts. I don't know if she's really told us everything, but when I read this, I felt like I had the, you know, privilege of, you know, reading both her journals and her mind. And as women going through the world, as we function as daughters, all the different things we think about, whether it's body image or relationships or how we feel about our parents and how we figure out our own autonomy, she's touched on all of it. And I feel like she's given us a gift to go forward in our own lives that we can only do it better after reading her words.
That's wonderful. Again, the name of the book is The Water Bearers by Sasha Bonet. All right, Roxana.
Yes, well, I'll do the memoir that I have with me, which is Artwork by Sally Mann, mm-hmm. who is a famous photographer. That doesn't necessarily mean anything to everyone. She's had a fair amount of controversy in her life, and she wrote a strict autobiography about 10 years ago called Hold Still.
Yes, which
I believe.
Is beautiful. Yes. We always have that.
And where she discusses a lot of the controversy with her work. Most of it revolves around photos she took of her children during the 80s when they were younger. This book is much thinner. The subtitle is On the Creative Life, and it purports to be advice to anybody who is a creative, anybody who likes to create things. And you do get a little bit more of autobiography in this, but really it's her looking at her past and being very, very honest about her successes. She talks a lot about how she knows privilege fed a lot into the things she was able to do, kind of her own privilege. And she talks a lot about her mistakes, big and little. And those are the things that are really fascinating to read about. And she's another beautiful, beautiful writer. And it's just, do you have to be an artist to read this? No. You probably need to be a little bit interested in her maybe or in contemporary photography. But it's a wonderful, easy read.
Artwork on The Creative Life by Sally Mann. Kira.
I think in a little bit to continue then this thread of like who we are and how we're functioning and how we're moving on, Brené Brown has a new book out called Strong Ground. And in this, she revisits some of her own work. She revisits other work of other people who she's known. She talks about people who she's maybe come into conflict with and how she solves some of that conflict. And so, again, it's a reminder of just different ways where you can think through yourselves. And this one quote, which is she's quoting by James Clear, but it's from Atomic Habits, which I just feel like I want to read out loud, is you do not rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems. Which right now, in all the different things that we're doing, you know, whether I'm functioning at the bookstore and in life and with in-laws and like systems, I feel like are where they all are at. And also, Brené Brown has this really beautiful list of values, and she really encourages you to try to, you know, look at some, like, what are your core kind of overarching umbrella values, and then how you're really living in all that. And I don't know if it's just me in my mid-50s or where I am in life, but I'm really feeling like looking at everything and, like, building from the ground up is a very purposeful thing that opens up a lot of love and light.
Absolutely. Strong Ground is the name of the book. We go to Roxana now.
Okay, I'm going to shift to a novel that just came out yesterday, and it's been nominated for the Kirkus Award in Fiction. It's shortlisted for the National Book Award. It's called A Guardian and a Thief by Megha Majumdar. And she wrote her previous book was A Burning.
I love that book.
Yeah, and this is a nice, thin, quick read, which is good because it's a bit intense. It takes place in the near future, This is not some very futuristic novel. We're in Kolkata, and heat and flooding have basically destroyed agricultural production in the area. And the city is still functioning, but there's this real sense that it's on the verge of some kind of collapse. You have everybody in the city trying to get out and get away, and you have people from the countryside coming to the city, hoping that they'll find food and they'll find some kind of safety there. And the novel opens with Ma. That's all we ever know her as, is Ma. And she has her older father, who used to be a poet, and she has her 2-year-old daughter, Mishti. And the three of them are trying to get out of the country, climate refugees, essentially. Her husband is in America. They're trying to get to America. So the first chapter, they go on this crazy trip through the city to get passports and visas. They get them. They get home, and now they've got 7 days to get ready for their flight out. That night, someone breaks into their house, steals food that they have hoarded. And that's a whole other part of the plot. And almost as a second thought, when the thief is leaving, he grabs Ma's purse, which has the passports and has the visas. Mm. So the rest of the novel is the 7 days where Ma is trying to figure out, can she, first of all, get those passports back? When she realizes that won't happen, what is she going to do? Can she get out of there? And we also meet the thief, and the novel just constantly plays back and forth with who's the guardian, who's the thief, what's a guardian, what's a thief. Mm-hmm. It's a tough read, but it's an excellent, excellent book. It's very well written.
A Guardian and a Thief by Megha Majumdar. And I don't know. I have been recommended this book by more people in the last 2 weeks than I think any book. It's great. I can't wait.
Yeah, you'll love it.
I just got a copy. Yeah,
and go back to The Burning if you didn't read it. It's really powerful.
Yeah. Yep.
Terrific stuff. All right. Thank you, Kira.
All right. Let's leap to Lily King. I guess Roxana was lucky enough to have Lily at her bookstore last week.
Yes, we were.
So, Heart the Lover by Lily King. It is roughly a love triangle. There's a woman and two friends. They meet in college, and she dates one of them, and both of them eventually. And then the novel takes a big jump into the future and a decision that was made in the past and how it plays out in their lives as friends. And so you see this friendship throughout all of these people throughout the novel, and there's a little bit of a nod to some of the characters from Writers and Lovers, which is nice when writers continue it, but by no means did you need to read that at all. And the cleverness of describing both college and friendships and then how we move to our own families and these people who were so important to us, how they shift and come in and out of our lives. And then the climax of this book and the kind of things that are revealed were just so heartbreaking and tender. The tears, I don't cry that often with books, but you have actually a book of another writer that makes me cry. And it's just, I sobbed and I felt like I wanted to put this in the hands of anybody who is going to be brave enough to read it.
Anybody of a certain age that has that nostalgia about college when everything seems possible and how fascinating and scary that is at the same time. This book does such a great job of capturing that.
Yeah, Lily, yes.
Heart the Lover by Lily King is the recommendation. And we go back to Roxana.
So my tonic after reading A Guardian and a Thief, which was a tough read, was to read Wreck by Catherine Newman, which comes out in 2 weeks. She's launching the book at our store. We're really excited about that. And this is a sequel to Sandwich, which was a huge hit last summer. And it's the same family. It's about a year later. It's Rocky and her son is married, living in New York City. Daughter's staying with her while she applies to grad school. Dad's living with her temporarily. There's a plot, yes. There's an accident, a tragedy in town. Rocky's got some health issues. But I think with Catherine Newman books, I don't mean to dismiss him.
There's a plot.
Family. It's this, you just want to, it's like sinking down into a comfortable couch to be with this family.
Yeah.
And she is so funny. We were just talking about this. She can write, she can be funny on the page that makes you laugh out loud. Yeah. And that's hard to do. So it's just, it's a great comfort read.
It makes you feel as if you have enough similarities in some ways, you feel so seen by her that it's very comforting also.
Yeah. Yep.
Wreck by Catherine Newman coming out in, what'd you say?
Two weeks.
Excellent.
And my current book club is Sandwich, which is the first book that has Rocky and her family in it. And we're doing that, and that meeting is going to be in November, just kind of preparing to make sure that everybody has read that so they can read that.
Be ready for the new one. Yeah. Excellent. All right. Next up.
So I sometimes, when I'm in the car, listen to books that I want to read that I don't always get a chance to before they come out. So I just listened to The Poison King by Catherine Rundell. It is a sequel to Impossible Creatures. And I always loved books like this as a child. You know, you'd like a little magic, a little dragon, a quest, and things like that. I really found the balance of the quest and the story with the nods to things we understand now, like whether we're talking about empathy or whether we're watching people wrestle with their own inner thoughts and how they make decisions. And in this, this girl really wants to avenge something, and then she really has to decide whether or not avenging someone's death with another death, like how that's going to pay off, not so well. And the characters that are created it's a perfect balance of new and creative, fun, different kinds of wizards and dragons and creatures, and also just that glorious, like, here's a quest, we're going to go on it, we know it's probably going to come out okay. They made a beautiful copy with these sprayed edges, but I found kids coming back in for this sequel after the first one that they read that they really liked in a different way sometimes than people come in for another new book. So I know that this is really connecting with kids strongly.
The Poison King by Catherine Rundell and Ashley McKenzie. Looks beautiful, too. Yeah, excellent.
It does.
All right, Roxana.
Okay, so this is a more serious book. It's called The Tragedy of True Crime, and the subtitle is Four Guilty Men and the Stories That Define Us. It's by a man named John J. Lennon, who is a prison journalist. And initially, I rolled my eyes a little bit at that phrase. And then I read more about him. He's been published everywhere. He's won all kinds of awards. I mean, he is a serious journalist. And this book is about, he's one of the four men. He was a low-level drug dealer, killed another drug dealer in his early 20s in prison in New York State. The second man, it's a truly tragic, well, they're all tragic, but this one is the saddest of the stories. When he was 17, he was kind of coerced by another person into a series of robberies of churches. They ended up killing a priest. And his story in prison is terrible. He's been able to be diagnosed with some mental problems that he has, but he never gets consistent treatment. His story is, as I said, the most tragic of all of them. The third man is a gay man who was involved with a much older man who was manipulating him, emotionally abusing him, and he ended up killing him in one of those, like, if it was a scene in a movie, it'd be one of those scenes where you're like, no, no, don't do that. Oh my God, you know, one bad decision after, don't right. put him in the trunk of the car, but he does, you know. Don't try to leave the city with him, and he does. But that person finds purpose in prison. He becomes very spiritual. He becomes a counselor. He finds great redemption in prison. And then the fourth one is only people of a certain age, I've realized, will recognize this name, but I think both of you will. Robert Chambers.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. A lot of younger people don't know who he was, but he is the other one. He was in prison for the murder and then out of prison and then back in prison because of drugs, drug dealing. And so John J. Lennon kind of looks at all of them and talks about so many things, how true crime, because it's like an industry now. You know, there are TV shows just about, you know, TV stations just about true crime, how that's changed the criminal justice system, how programs, education programs, especially being cut in prisons, the negative effects of those. He's very honest about his own crime and his attempts to redeem himself with the family of the person he killed. And one of the smaller but more fascinating aspects of this story is what he had to go through to write this. No laptop, you know, getting drafts out, getting drafts back. It's, you know, that in itself is a whole other fascinating thing that happened there. So, yeah, if you're into true crime, you know, it's a fascinating read. And some sad stuff in there, but some heartwarming stuff too, believe it or not.
The Tragedy of True Crime. Of True Crime by John J. Lennon. All right. Kira.
Okay, I have two cookbooks with me. One is called, let's do one. I'll just do the first one.
Well, you know them both. Okay. That's all
right. So one is called The Cook's Garden by Kevin West. He came to the farmer's market with us on Labor Day weekend, Labor Day Saturday, and we had a brilliant time. This book is very specifically written for any cook, whether you are in the city and you have some little herbs in a pot, or if you have a garden where you're growing more produce. And he really seeks to explain the kinds of things you can grow for your home and then the kinds of things you can cook with, and very much making the distinction between not having to be a fancy chef, really just being able to cook. And so one of the things I made, we made a biscuit, a savory biscuit with some cheese and some herbs I made from my garden. And then we had those for people to try, and it was nice. But it's a beautifully laid out book. It's definitely, a lot of garden clubs could definitely read this book. And it's definitely a book to give people, especially if they're interested just in growing anything and then learning like how you use it. And so it's both a reading book and a recipe book and a gardening book. You know, because there's some really beautiful things in there.
And it's big.
And it's big. And we have these really nice signed copies at the shop. So it's a great present.
Oh, beautiful. The Cook's Garden by Kevin West. Now, the other...
The other one is called Sweet and Salty, which I think is, like, yum. And this is a cookbook for young bakers. It's written by the King Arthur Baking Company. And what I really love about this, and what it seems different than a lot of books that are out, is just the way it lays everything out on the page. Roxanne and I were talking about this. You can prop the cookbook up and cook from it, which when you're learning is good. And sometimes a screen is tricky. And when you're a kid, there's a distraction. So this book is, everything is laid out. The team laid everything out in terms of what your things are called and what you need. And then the recipes. And then sometimes there are recipes about like ice cream, any flavor, like where you make the base and then how you can change it, right. Which I think is important. How to frost, you know, all these, you know, who doesn't want to learn how to frost a cupcake. I'll eat that cupcake.
Yeah, we want to know that.
So I love it. It's really colorful. It's really bright. It's just out. It obviously makes a good gift. I feel like I'm in total gift mode already. But I appreciate the simplicity and the deliciousness of it.
King Arthur Baking Company's book, Sweet and Salty. All right, Roxana.
Okay, so this is my seasonal choice. It's called One of Us.
Oh, I love this book.
Oh, have you read it?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I love it.
Have you read other Dan Shaun?
Yes. I'm a big fan of Dan Shaun.
Okay, so am I. Especially if anybody is a short story person, seek out his short stories. His short stories are amazing. He's a great short story writer. So this one, so you can, chime in if you want to contribute. It's 1915. The world is changing. And we have 13-year-old twins who, like twins do, especially twins in books and movies, have that kind of connection where they can know what each other is thinking. They're left alone. Dad's long gone. Mom dies. They're kind of trying to function on their own a little bit. And then long lost Uncle Charlie shows up, but it's an uncle they've never heard of or seen before. And he takes them to rescue them out west. The thing I like about Dan Shaun is let me know. I don't think he's a horror writer or a supernatural writer.
No, I don't know what he is because he writes so many different things.
But he walks up to the edge of...
He sure does.
Yes, he has a great creep level. That's what I like to describe it.
Ooh.
He has, he can kind of describe a scene or a character with this high level of creep, but it's not horror and it's not supernatural.
I believe it's in the end of the acknowledgments, he says, and thanks to my early readers who didn't get freaked out when the book just got progressively weirder.
Yes, 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 that's true.
And it does get progressively weirder.
Yeah, so
Charlie
is a high creep character, and the twins escape him and they're taken into the Emporium of Wonderment. All right, that's the name of it, which is a traveling circus. And there's a freak show. And these twins have a found family and they're able to start to become more individuals and discover their own interests and their own passions. But then there's that tension because they feel like they're being abandoned by the other one. It's the type of thing that would have happened in any situation as twins growing up. But because it's happening in a freak show at a traveling carnival, it's that much more weird. And there's some other stuff that happens that we won't go into. But it's a great read.
Really a lot of fun. And I think you're right. Seasonal is perfect.
Yes.
A great book around this time of year. One of Us by Dan Shaun. When I had Dan on, he said, I know it's Shaun, but it's Choan.
Yeah,
he wanted me always to spell it so people could actually find it.
That's true.
At the bookstore. Yes. Choan.
One other quick thing about this that I'm sure you loved is the pop culture references in the language that he dug up from that time period.
Wow.
Really good stuff. He's you're in good hands with that, Shaun.
Yep.
All right.
So I don't have it with me, but I had the delightful experience this weekend of having a book called Jenny and the Cat Club, which I love more than anything and is the read aloud that I suggest to everybody for especially a 5 and a 6-year-old. I got to read it to my 5-year-old niece or almost 5-year-old niece. And I hadn't read it since my 21-year-old was 5. So 16 years ago, I can do that math. And I revisited this book through the lens. We call her our starter grandchild because, I'm
heavy. Yeah.
And it just, I was so excited to both love it as much as I did. I remember it made me cry, which I had forgotten. But I remembered how much I loved it. And to get it again, it almost is a little bit what I was thinking about this Catherine Rundell book in some way. It's like she gives, and even more so Esther Averill, it's written in the 50s, I think. She gives the characters time to think and not change their minds, but to develop and figure out what they're thinking based on their emotions. There isn't this immediate payoff or this immediate call, like action where it follows and it follows. But everything's happening like they're cats and they have a club and things happen. Someone takes someone's scarf and there's a fire and there's just so much that goes on, but in this really slow, gracious way. And so I was so excited to re-love this book and I've, always talking about it, but I'm going to talk about it even more.
Esther Averill?
Esther Averill, Jenny and the Cat Club.
Jenny and the Cat Club. Very, very cool. All right, your final book.
All right, so this was a book, Evensong, by Stuart Onan. Stuart Onan has a huge back catalog. He has written so many books. I'll just give you a quick rundown of this. It comes out in November. It's about a group, and when you hear this, you're going to be like, oh, I don't think I'm interested in this. Four or five older women who call themselves the Humpty Dumpties who take care of each other in Pittsburgh. They look out for each other, just calling to check in, taking each other to doctor's appointments, getting prescriptions. And it's basically what happens to them when their quote-unquote leader falls and breaks her hip and can no longer be in charge. It's a fascinating book about what it's like to be old in America today, and community, looking out for one another, whether it's tiny things or whether it's big things, like helping someone clean out a hoarded house.
Wow.
Yeah, and I can't imagine, I have to imagine that you'll hear more about this book once it's out.
Well, I can't wait. He's scheduled to be on the show. I can't wait.
Oh, great. Excellent.
I really enjoy him. My thanks to Kira. My thanks to Roxana. My thanks to the Odyssey Bookshop. My thanks to Merritt Bookstore. We are out of time. Go to their websites.
Come see us at Cheap and Well this weekend.
There you go. Cheap and Well. WAMC.org.
Support for WAMC comes from Ventford Hall, Lenox. Introduction to Tarot Workshop, October 19th. Second Annual Masquerade Macabre, October 25th from 6 to 10 p.m. Evening with the Resident Psychic Medium, October 28th. Tickets at gildedage.org. The Devlin Inn and Suites, Main Street, Lake Placid. Welcoming families, athletes, and groups to the historic Olympic Village with Adirondack mountain views and dog-friendly accommodations. TheDevlinNY.com to learn more.
All of our segments are available online at wamc.org/roundtable or via podcast. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and X as at WAMC Radio. Thanks to our panelists. Thanks to our engineer, Mike Bowen, and our producer, Sarah LaDuke. I'm Joe Donahue. Stay safe and stay tuned for Midday Magazine.
This is Northeast Public Radio, WAMC FM HD 90.3 Albany, WRUN HD 90.3 Remsen Utica, WAMK HD 90.9 Kingston, WOSR HD 91.7 Middletown, WCEL HD 91.9 Plattsburgh, WCAN HD 93.3 Canajoharie, WANC HD 103.9 Ticonderoga, WAMQ HD 105.1 Great Barrington, WWES HD 88.9 Mount Kisco, WANZ HD 90.1 Stamford, WANR 88.5 Brewster, WQQQ 103.3 Sharon, and WAMC AM 1400 Albany.